Hello, this is Pastor John. Thank you for joining me for the Friday afternoon. The late Friday afternoon webcast. I'm glad that you can join me here on August the 13th, 2010. My goodness. 10 years have passed by in this millennium already. And I got a webcast to share with you. Thank you, Norma, for sending it to me. The name of the webcast is called The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. I think you're going to really enjoy this article on the heels of what I was speaking about. I've been in the office working all day doing editing and things like that. So let me fade out here a little bit and tell you what I'm talking about today. The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. Here's an article by Brett McCracken. Brett McCracken wrote this article, and under the House of Worship, August the 13th, today. And I think that this article would be more than interesting as we listen to it, because it bespeaks what I've been saying for the past couple of months, especially in light or in spite of my last article. He says, "How can we stop the oil gusher?" May have been the question of the summer for most Americans. Yet for many evangelical pastors and leaders, the leaking well, is nothing compared to the threat posed by an ongoing gusher of a different sort. And this is the different sort that he's speaking about. Young people pouring out of their churches, never to return. Now, this article caught my eye and my heart and my attention because I believe, and I haven't read the whole article, I just read a couple of lines, but I want to put in my two cents here as I look at it. I think that young people are leaving the church and never to return, number one, because they were never committed to it, and secondarily, because they see the flagrant hypocrisy of those that are in the church. And if I were a young person attending a college age, I would not put up with the hypocrisy of my parents and other people like that that say one thing but do something else. The writer, Brett, goes on and says, "As a 27-year-old evangelical myself," he says, "I understand the concern. My peers, many of whom I grew up with in the church, are losing interest in the Christian establishment," quote unquote. I understand, Brett. I understand. Yes. He goes on and says that recent stats have shown an increasing exodus of young people from churches, especially after they leave home and live on their own. In a 2007 study, Lifeway Research determined that 70% of young Protestant adults between 18 and 22 years of age stop attending church regularly. Well, of course they do. And like I said, I don't blame them. I'd leave too. I hope that the article doesn't say that they're losing their belief in God, but I think faith in an institution, yeah. Statistics like these have created something of a mania in recent years, this writer says, as baby boomer evangelical leaders frantically assess what they have done wrong. Why didn't megachurches work to attract the youth in the long term and scramble to figure out a plan to keeping young members engaged in the life of the church? Oh, what a question. As a matter of fact, I recently went to a particular website of a church that was already planning as a big church, and now they want to build another auditorium and bring in more people. And I think what the pastor's line was, we're tired of having all these services. We want to bring them all in one bunch. See, this convenience kind of a thing. So we're going to spend millions of more dollars to meet them in one bunch. Now, that kind of rationale doesn't make sense to me, because if you're a church that big, you got more than one pastor, right? So why don't you do a sermon and have another dude do a sermon and have a third dude do a third sermon in that area and let the people come in shifts? Wouldn't that suffice? That would save the people money and you could still have church, right? Well, let me continue to read. Goes on, it says, increasingly, the plan has taken the form of a total image overhaul, where efforts are made to rebrand Christianity as hip, countercultural, and relevant. Hip Christianity? Hey, wait a minute. This is John Coleman speaking. Where's the advantage of suffering for Christ? Where's the advantage of sacrificing your life for somebody else? Yeah, I understand. Goes on and says, as a result, in the early 2000s, this young writer says, we got something called the emerging church, a sort of postmodern stab at an evangelical reform movement, perhaps because it was to let's rethink everything radical. It fizzled quickly, but the impulse behind it, to rehabilitate Christianity's image and make it cool, remains. He has the right, you know, he has the right view of what happened to the church. I've been telling you guys that this seeker-sensitive mess was going to implode right in your face. He goes on and says that there are various ways that the church's attempt to be cool. For some, it means trying to seem more culturally savvy. You know, they're trying to, what they mean by that is that they're trying to make the message a little bit more, As a matter of fact, I received an email today. I got a person driving all the way from Orange County for the first time coming to my home on this Sunday to our worship. And trust me, this person is passing myriads of churches before they get here. Why? And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be nothing culturally savvy here. You're going to be sitting possibly in a warm room. It's going to be comfortably crunched with other people, just like the original church is in Asia Minor. All right, goes on and says that the pastor quotes Stephen Colbert for references Lady Gaga during the sermon. Or a church sponsor is screening for the R-rated No Country for Old Men. Or others, the emphasis upon looking cool, perhaps by giving the pastor a metrosexual makeover with skinny jeans and an $80 haircut, or by insisting on a trendy, eco-friendly paper and Helvetica only fonts on a pen materials. I don't know what kind of a font that is, but I guess that's the latest thing out there. And then there's the option of holding a worship service in a bar or a nightclub, as in the case of LA's Mosaic Church, whose downtown location meets at the night spot called the Club Mayan. Yeah, I heard about that, though I've never been down there. See, this trendy trend makes sense. So wannabe cool Christianity also manifests itself as an obsession with being on the technological cutting edge. Churches like Central Christian in Las Vegas and Liquid Church in New Brunswick, New Jersey, for example, have online church services where people can have a worship experience in an iCampus. You know, and many other churches now encourage texting, Twitter, and iPhone interaction with the pastor during their services. Yeah, I wish someone would call me. They'd just get my phone humming or going, and I'd be wondering as I felt it up against my side, what kind of an idiot would be calling me after 10:30 in the morning to 12:15 on a Sunday afternoon. You would have to be crazy. You know I'm not picking up. But one of the most popular and arguably, this writer says, most unseemingly, methods of making Christianity hip is to make it shocking. Can you believe that? And he says, what better way to appeal to younger generations than to push the envelope and to go where no fundamentalist has ever gone before? My friend Bob Johnson recently told me about a youth conference that John MacArthur co-signed, people attending. They got rappers. This is something unheard of. Years ago, Grace to You Ministries would not even approach that kind of entertainment for young people. Now it appears that, well, if you want to keep them, you got to entertain them, you got to do that. Sex is also a popular shock tactic. Evangelical authored books like Sex God by Rob Bell and Real Sex by Lauren Winter are par for the course these days. Now, me, I've never heard of these books because I spend my time reading the Bible. At the same time, many churches are finding creative ways to use sex-themed marketing gimmicks to lure people into church. Well, I tell you how they do that. Easiest way to do it, tell the women with big bosoms to wear tight t-shirts and the dudes to have their pants hanging off their butts. And I'm sure you'll get a sexual rise from somebody. Well, Oak Leaf Church in Cartersville, Georgia, this writer says, created a website called younggreatsexlife.com to pike the entrance of the young seekers. Flamingo Road Church in Florida created an online anonymous confessional, ivescrewedup.com. Can you believe this? And had a web series called MyNakedPastor.com, which featured a 24/7 webcam showing 5 weeks in the life of a pastor, Troy Grambling. And then there is Mark Dristel in his Seattle Mars Hill Church, who delivers sermons with titles like Biblical Oral Sex, quote unquote, and Pleasuring Your Spouse, and is probably the first and only pastor that this writer says that they've ever heard say the word vulva during a sermon. I didn't know that it had gotten this rich. I guess that's why Norma sent me the article, because she just wanted to enlighten my mind as I come towards the weekend. The article goes on and says, but are these gimmicks really going to bring young people back to church? No, I think it's going to bring them to a religious organization. It's going to bring them to the thrill used to be gone, but it's back. But if they left, I like the way the Apostle John put it, if they went out from us and they returned, they never were of us in the first place. So it's not a question about coming back. See, when you live with mommy and daddy, papa and mama, you got to attend the old ship of Zion. But if you figure that the ship is sunk anyhow, and the minute you get out of there, you can do whatever the Hades you want to do. Let me give you a little stark, shattering world advice for you parents out there. You need to do Christianity on your own, because after you fed them and bred them and grown them up and did everything that you can do to them, they are most likely to leave the beaten path, that quiet is kept they never were on in the first place. If you get my drift. The article goes on. And it says, but are these gimmicks really going to bring them back to the church? And what is it that people really come to church for? It says maybe sex sermons and indie rock music that could help getting people inside of the door, and maybe even winning new converts. But what sort of Christianity are they being converted to? Well, in his book, this article goes on and says, The Courage to be Protestant, David Wells writes, and I quote, the born-again marketing church has calculated that unless it makes deep, serious cultural adaptations, it will go out of business, especially with the younger congregations. What it has not considered carefully enough is that it may well be putting itself out of business with God, quote unquote. Well, of course. Then it goes on, it says that the further irony, he adds, is that the younger generations are less impressed by whiz-bang technology, who often see through what is slick and glitzy, and who have been on the receiving end of enough marketing to nauseate them, as likely to walk away from these so-called relevant churches as to walk into them. I believe that because I have young college-age students sitting in my room. If you've watched me on YouTube clips, you see them sitting in my room. College-age students, high school students, listening to the Word of God. There's no gimmicks. And I tell them if they don't want to be there, they can get the heck up out of there. I don't try to do anything to keep them there. So, in the evangelical, if the evangelical Christian leadership thinks that cool Christianity, quote unquote, this writer says, is a substantive path forward, they are severely mistaken, this particular author says. As a 20-something, this guy says, I can say with confidence that when it comes to church, we don't want cool as much as we want real. See, now there's where I come in, because I've always been real with mine. And you know what? I see these preachers doing it all the time, and they never get enough. You would think, okay, they got a big enough room. Are you satisfied yet? No, because their egos have self-exploded. It's like an atomic bomb going off. You need more ceiling place to put the clout that you've created. That's all it is, clouds of nothingness. And, you know, they'll use the Word of God. They'll throw it in now and then to make you feel like you're in church. And they come up, well, we all want to meet together, don't we? Heck no, not really. Oh. If we are interested in Christianity in any sort of serious way, this writer says, it is not because it is easy or trendy or popular. It is because Jesus himself is appealing. But you're not going to hear about Jesus being appealing in the churches because they aren't teaching about Jesus in the churches. And what Jesus says rings true. Not what the pastor says, not what your coffee shop. I heard a pastor recently say, and when we rebuild the new sanctuary, we're going to put a coffee shop right there. And he put that in his dialogue. Hey, make sure y'all know we're going to have some coffee there so y'all can be happy. See, it's because the world we inhabit is utterly phony, empirically narcissistic, and that's what the church has become, image-obsessed and sex-drenched. And the young person that is looking for anything close to Jesus, this writer says, we want an alternative. That's why I call my ministry the biblical alternative. And I've been calling it that before Tony Evans coined the urban alternative. Because, see, you can have an urban alternative, but a biblical one is the only one that's left. It is not because we want more of the same, this writer says. Mr. McCracken's book called Hipster Christianity, Where Church and Cool Collide, is on Baker Books, and it was published this month. And that copyright was 2009 by Dow Jones. I just thought that you might want to hear that article in spite or in light of what I said. This young man is saying young people are leaving the church because they want real. And the people that are supposed to be running the churches are into fantasy land. Well, I think that's a way to end up my week of study. Thank you, Norma Brown, for sending me the article. It did catch my attention. If you come across a newsworthy article that you think Pastor John would get a kick out of reading, just feel free to email it to me, intotheword1@aol.com. And when I get a chance, I'll surely try to take some time and do a little webcast and put it up. Hey, listen to Thursday night's webcast. It's kind of long, but I'm trying to answer the question why I've gone through a certain amount of change in my faith. I don't play that stupid, hypocritical, evangelical game with you. I'm not going to tell you because you got a cross on the window and a stained glass of some figure of Jesus or the Christ that you can do anything you want to do to try to pack them in. I don't think that Jesus was trying to pack them in, but I think that there's where the church has gone wrong. What you do is you just proclaim the word of God right where you are. And if it's real, it'll draw. And if it's not, it will repel like these new gimmicks are doing our young people. So let us continue to stay in this mode as we watch the church disintegrate and watch it follow the world's antics in order to find popularity. Pastor John, Into the Word Ministries, which is, you know the drill, the biblical alternative.